We love the 1980s wrestling era, when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lainey Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
Please welcome in our new sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Go to underdogfantasy.com and you'll discover that Underdog Fantasy is the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. Underdog Fantasy lets you draft a fantasy dream team in minutes. Sign up now with the code POWERTRIP and you'll double your first deposit up to $100 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit of $10 or more. That's right, deposit $100 and get $100 for free. Underdog keeps it simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile apps. Pick between 2 and 5 players to fill out your pick'em slip. Get every pick right and take home some cold, hard cash. Use that promo code POWERTRIP and get your first deposit doubled up by $100 by Underdog. That's underdogfantasy.com. Use the promo code POWERTRIP today.
The upcoming presentation is a two-man power trip of wrestling podcast production.
What's up, guys? It's the phenomenal AJ Styles, and you're listening to the two-man power trip.
Hey, Johnny. Cool, man. What's going on? We ready to go or what?
How you doing?
Not too bad. Can't complain.
Yes, you can, but just not to me.
Exactly. So are you
Happy
ready?
Happy
New Year, yes. Are you ready to fire this bad boy up?
Yeah, let's rock.
All right. Joining me on the line right now is the universal heartthrob, every woman's pet, every man's regret, former CWA, a.k.a. AWA Southern World Champion, Mr. Austin Idol. Welcome back. How you doing, AI?
I'm doing great. Did you say AKA? Isn't that like the dog thing? Isn't that AKA? That's American Kennel Association.
Well, I meant like CWA, but it was really called the AWA Southern Heavyweight Champion. So you know how that goes.
So it's not AKA. So I'm not the American World Heavyweight Kennel Association champion.
No.
But I will be now.
What's going on in your world? What have you been up to?
Oh, brother, you know, NWA, I've got my wrestling college down here, Universal Wrestling College. Love that. I mean, I have some great guys that just, they have so much passion, and which I think is kind of missing a little bit now in our world, and it needs to be a lot more of it. But these guys are so passionate, and they're intelligent, they're great students, And they're really coming into their own now because they're smart. They're very creative people, and they're going to go places. And it's really fun to be with them. I mean, we have a blast, John. You should come down and visit sometime.
Where's it located? Where is it?
Greenville, South Carolina. Thank you for doing your homework.
Well, I wanted you to say, like, where everybody can get to the school, see it. You know.
I'm going
to
plug it.
Plug it. Yep.
Oh, man, I'm going to plug it. Universal Wrestling College is located in beautiful Greenville, South Carolina. And you can find us on go Google. Google Austin Idol, Google Universal Wrestling College. And I'll say this, John, and very, very seriously, because, you know, I've been with the National Wrestling Alliance for like 5 years, this run, since Mr. William Patrick Corgan purchased it and rebooted it. So, yeah, I'm part of that whole inaugural relaunch. And because of it, I have some good relationships that have been built, put it that way. So anybody who comes to my wrestling college, they pay attention and develop their skills, they're going to get a tryout with the NWA. They're going to get a tryout with the NWA. I guarantee it. So if wrestling is their dream, which it is for a lot of people, some people capitalize on that dream, and they go after it, and they give it a shot, and they give it their best effort, and other people just let it pass them by. And then in a lot of cases, they'll scratch their head, 10 years, golly, I should have tried that, but I didn't do it. So anyway, but this is on the website there, John, universalwrestlingcollege.com. You'll see sign up plastered all over every page. Someone just pushes that. There's an application, and they have to fill out the app. I get it. Take a look at them, get back to them, and see where it goes.
I love that. And, of course, you've been a part of the NWA. My good personal longtime friend, Dr. Tom Pritchard, always says it's great to see you whenever he's there. So that's pretty awesome. Get some good old school lines in there.
He's a liar. Yeah, let's go ahead and start off the new year right. Pritchard, you're a liar. You know you're a liar. He'll admit it.
He doesn't like to see you, so is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I love Doc. He's great. He's a great vibe, and he's very, very smart, and he's really fantastic to have in that locker room, which is loaded now, but there's always room for more. I mean, there's always room for more. You got to have new faces, new talent. I mean, that never ends. It's a continuing process, but it's fun to be around Doc. He's a really good guy. I like Doc a lot.
With Billy Corgan, William Patrick Corgan, and NWA, what's going on with you guys? Seems like you guys are in a little bit of a dispute. It looks like you're brawling lately.
Who's brawling?
You and Billy are going to get into it.
Oh, we're always brawling. Yeah, we're always brawling. Yeah, we are. But, it's nobody seems to ever win, which is a good thing. That way we can keep brawling. But the thing about... Billy Corgan, I call him William. I mean, a lot of people call him Billy, but he really prefers William, so I go with that. William, I call him William. He's a highly, highly intelligent individual. I mean, he really is, because he can juggle so many balls at one time without dropping them, which is, to me, that's amazing. But it's just, it's a different level of intelligence, IQ, a very lofty IQ. But in spite of that, especially with all of the success with the Smashing Pumpkins, which is just insane. I mean, they're still hot. Matter of fact, I went to one of their concerts in Charlotte over the summer. It was just amazing. Just thousands of people there, John. And what was really, and I'm kind of digressing a little bit, but what was really cool about that concert, I'm backstage and with a band. And looking out over the audience and song after song after song with no breaks. I mean, no breaks. The crowd knew every word to every song. And it was like a cult experience, but it was just wild. But it sure was a lot of fun to go there and watch the band up front and live. And they're just like unbelievable. They really are. So he's a major league talented individual. And he's got a tremendous IQ and very smart. And we have a good relationship, We do.
I got the chance to see them last summer as well. They're amazing.
Where'd you see them?
Elmdale, New Jersey, at the PNC Bank Arts Center. There was, I think they said that there was over 10,000, so I don't even know how much the place sold, but it was sold out.
Well, that's a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they were awesome. He still sounds great.
Oh, man. I mean, he's got pipes. Yeah, he's got pipes, and he crushes that guitar, and the whole band is so tight. I mean, they're so tight. I mean, they really are. They're a lot of fun. And so I'm assuming, were you out in the crowd watching
yep.
them?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Oh, what a mark.
See, if
if you'd have reached out to me, I could have hooked you up and got you backstage.
Hey, a good buddy of mine is friends with Billy. He couldn't even hook me up, so it's better to be friends with you, I guess.
Oh, no doubt about that. There's a value there. You know, you have to pay for it.
Yes, yes. And the thing that intrigued me the most was, you know, like, obviously, like, do they still have it? Are they still good? He's still awesome. I mean, they still sound like they did 30 years ago. I mean, they still sound great.
It's unreal. I mean, it's absolutely unreal. So they just suck fine wine, continue to get better and better and better. But so, I mean, we talk about success and that. And then, of course, he's got his foot on the gas for the NWA. And they're progressing and they're ascending. They're going higher and higher and higher. So I'm glad to be with them. I'm really happy to be with them.
When you look at him, and I had the opportunity to interview him probably about a year ago or so, pretty awesome to get the chance, but he actually is like a wrestling savant. I was just surprised like at his knowledge. I mean, he really is a true fan. He loves wrestling.
Yes, he does, and that's why he doesn't need the money, but that's why he's in this business, because of his love for it. And you're right, he is a savant. He's a collector. I mean, he collects all kinds of memorabilia. I mean, he loves the wrestling business, and I think it's almost a little bit like rock and roll, you know, kind of like rock and roll, and it's wild and crazy, and anything can happen at any given time. So, but he loves the business. I'm glad he does, and because of it, and his burning desire to really make this thing go is why it's going to go. Because he doesn't know what quit or give up means. He has no, it's not in his vocabulary.
When did you actually, like, I know it was 5 years ago, but when did you actually meet him? Was it longer than that? Because he seems like he's a big AI fan. He seems like he's a big Universal Heartthrob fan.
I met him the first time when I went to, it would have been Phil, no, it was New Jersey. It was New Jersey when Tim Storm was the NWA champion at the time. And I went up and managed Nick Aldis that night. And Nick wins the belt. So that would have been, I don't know, six years ago? I don't know. Somewhere around there, I guess. Over 5 years ago. Could be 6 years ago, but it was in what company? What promotion? CZW?
Right, yep.
CZW, yeah, which was a real weird environment, you know, but it was, to say the least, you know. But it was a great experience. That's the first time I met him. Yeah, they picked me up at the airport, and yeah, just, but we hit it off immediately. He's so down to earth.
Yeah, that was the Cage of Death, which is a weird. I've been to some of those. Those are some weird shows for sure. That back in 2017. Yep.
Yeah, so, but he's a very earthy guy. You know, he's easy to talk to and fun to talk to. He's got a sense of humor. Believe it or not, he does have a sense of humor.
Oh, yeah, and I was surprised, though. There was, you know, I mentioned Smashing Pumpkins maybe for 30 seconds, and he really wanted to talk wrestling. Like, he loves the business.
Yeah, he does. You know, he can talk Pumpkins all day. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, asking a doctor about, you know, what. You know, they don't want to talk about that. They want to talk about something else. So it's cool for him. He can talk about something else. It's not music. It's wrestling. And wrestling is about as exotic as it's going to get for a business. It really is. I mean, I've asked people, how would you define wrestling? I usually say exotic. I mean, it's hard to really define it, you know?
Interesting way to put it, because it's sport, but it's theater. I mean, it's definitely different.
Well, everything is a source of entertainment. You know, if it has anything to do with the media, you know, whatever it is. I mean, it doesn't make any in the news, which I don't watch the news, and I don't need to fill my head full of a bunch of negativity and who got shot, killed, murdered, raped, ripped off. You know, forget that. I mean, I have some people that say, "Why don't you watch the news?" And that's why I tell them, "Well, why would I start my day with filling myself up with a bunch of negativity? I mean, I don't watch it. I know what's going on. I mean, I know what's going on, but I don't watch it and dwell on all that stuff, John. But some do, some don't. So what?
Now, it's not really news-related, but it kind of is, because Joe Rogan is super popular. He's all over the place. Your name kept coming up when he had Hulk Hogan on the show. I don't know if you had a chance to hear that or see that.
Yeah, I did. Someone said that to me a while back, but, I mean, why hasn't Joe reached out to me to get the real deal on there?
Oh, good point. I agree.
Yeah,
now,
what's wrong with Joe? Joe's asleep at the wheel.
Now, do you and Hogan get along? Because, I mean, he's obviously singing your praises on the show.
Well, I don't talk to him. There's no, I think we're friendly, you know, but I mean, I haven't spoken to him in decades.
Do you agree with what he said about the cup and the ears and the idol mania and the Hulkamania?
Oh, yeah,
that all true?
Well, yeah, it happened in St. Louis. I remember the night, yeah. I was up there in St. Louis. That would have been for Vern Gagne at the time. What was that building? I want to say Kiel Auditorium. I think it was Kiel Auditorium. Yeah, Kiel. And wrestling Bob Orton Jr. And I was a good guy. Bob Orton Jr. was a bad guy. And somewhere in there, I did the hand to the ear. The people popped. Well, Hogan was on the card, so he was in the back. He saw it, and when he saw it, he said, "Well, heck, man, with that kind of reaction, I'll do it too." And he took it to the stratosphere.
Amazing. And you know, some guys, they don't give other guys credit, though. I like that Hogan was giving you credit, Superstar Billy Graham. He's giving Dusty some credit. I like that he's giving guys credit.
Yeah,
like, he didn't just make it up on his own.
Yeah, I thought it was admirable. It took him a while to do that, you know, but that's okay, too. It doesn't make any difference. He did it. So, I mean, yeah, I give him some props on that one for sure.
Now, also with you, everyone always talks about how the check, if you win the Battle Royal, you cash the check. I'm trying to remember. Who was
Shut
the promoter?
Shut up, John. Shut up, John. I'm going to object to that, vehemently object to that. You don't really have any hard evidence. You know that. I mean, come on.
Yes, true.
Documentation beats conversation. We've heard that. But go ahead.
But
you want to
but every
about
time
check?
I see one of those checks, I immediately think of you because my nephew won a bowling thing, and he got one of those checks. And I said, "Is that real?" Like, "No, it's not a real check." And I said, "You know what?" I go, "There's a famous wrestler, Austin Idol, that they thought, you know, it's not a real check. You could actually cash that. I don't know if they actually cash. I'm going to have to follow up with my sister-in-law. But I said, you could actually cash that check.
They don't want to take a look at that check. Yeah. And if they don't want to cash, just send it down here to me.
It was pretty good, though. I mean, he was only, I think, 8 or 9, but it was for a couple $100. I said, I think you could cash that at your bank.
I mean, was it like a tournament? Or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bowling tournament, yep.
And he won the tournament? He won
yep.
it?
Yep.
Well, maybe the check's real.
I know, that's what I think.
Well, one way to find out, take it to the bank.
Yep, that's what I said. Now, you did that as well, didn't you? Isn't that a fact?
Yeah, exactly what I did, sure.
What was the promotion, and who was the promoter?
Well, it was in Atlanta, so I was wrestling for, it would have been under the Georgia Championship wrestling umbrella, but it was a one-night-only thing. In Columbus, Ohio, Fred Ward was the promoter in Columbus. So it was Fred Ward in Columbus, Ohio. No, not Columbus, Ohio. Columbus, Georgia.
And you win the Battle Royal. Obviously, yep. they give you the – and you literally just took it and brought it home and brought it to the bank.
It was a real check. It was a real check.
Well, what did he think, though? He thought that you were just going to throw in the garbage? Or, like, what did he think? You're not going to really take the check?
Well, I wasn't thinking. I wasn't even thinking about it. You know, I mean, Fred Ward came into the ring. The battle royal was over. I win the battle royal. He comes in, has his suit on, promoter's suit on, and gets the microphone and makes a little announcement and hands me a check. I didn't even look at it. You know, just folded it up and kind of put it in my tights and, you know, raised my hand and went back to the dressing room and, you know, taking my tights off to get in the shower. And then there's the check, which I'd already forgotten about it. Really didn't even think twice about the check. And I looked at it, and the check was said, made out to Austin Idol. It was made out to Austin Idol, $5,000. And the purpose of the check was winner of the Battle Royal. And it was a company check. And I kind of looked twice at it. I thought, well, that's a legitimate check. But I really didn't think anything about it and put it in my bag. And I flew back to, where was I living? I think I was living in Tampa at the time, Tampa, Florida, and took the check and put it like in a sock drawer. And then I don't know if it was 2, 3 months, 4 months later. I really don't remember. But it was a little while later that I was coming up to the Carolinas. It was for Christmas, take a little trip to the Carolinas. I was going to drive it. So I was just packing some stuff, and I stumbled on the check. And when I stumbled on it, I looked at it and said, maybe it's so out of date. I mean, and really, it was like 3 or 4 months old, the check. I looked at it and said, you know, and Fred Ward had a reputation. I mean, you know, I really pretty much typically don't say anything negative about anybody, but everybody knew he had a reputation. He was very, very stingy and greedy. That's the nicest way I can put it. Very stingy and greedy when it came to compensating wrestlers who appeared in his town. But we always made it up in the other towns, where Jim Barnett was just the opposite. He was very generous. So you go to Columbus, Georgia, and say, okay, you know you're not going to get what you deserve, but Barnett will make it up from the other towns. So it all works out fine. But he was very stingy and greedy, and everybody knew it. All the wrestlers knew it, you know. They all knew that this guy, oh boy, he's going to get us again. So anyway, that was really kind of my motivation, to tell you the truth. So, well, you know what? Maybe it's time for a little payback. So I took the check with me, driving up to the Carolinas, and stopped in Atlanta, walked into the bank where I used to do my banking when I was, you know, wrestling in Georgia. That's where I did my banking. I had no account or anything. I just walked up, said hi to the teller, whoever she was. So I'd like to cash this check. How would you like it? I said, hundreds would be fine. Five grand in hundreds.
Wow. Awesome.
I thought it was awesome. You know, of course, I knew it was going to go back. The bookkeeping's going to find it. Yeah, but I didn't care. I mean, I really could care less. I wasn't even wrestling in the territory. I just didn't care, you know. It was like a payback. So, so $5,000 in hundreds. And made a nice little Christmas gift. And they did find it. Bookkeeping did find it. They did find it. And they, you know, they tried to get cute with me and, you know, intimidate me, but it didn't work.
You never gave it back then?
Of course not.
No. You did win the Battle Royal, to be fair.
Yeah, it's too bad it wasn't 50 grand.
Oh, my you God, know? Imagine that. You need a nice little Halliburton briefcase for that.
Oh, jeez. Baby, yeah. And, John, listen, at that time, you know, the computer thing, you know, the internet and all that stuff was, you know, nothing. It was nothing. And so it was a word-of-mouth thing that spread like wildfire throughout the wrestling industry. Wildfire. And it was like I was a martyr. I mean, I became like a martyr. I mean, I could have run for some kind of wrestling office. You know, I would have won it because everybody said, man, I'll cash a check. And I did what they would have loved to have done, but they wouldn't do it, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Fear of what? Come on, fill in the blank. Fear of what?
Fear of God.
Fear of God. Yeah, fear of the wrestling gods.
Fear of reprisal, probably, from...
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I got to mention this because it's one of my favorite feuds of all time. Just unbelievable. 1987, you turn on Jerry Lawler and start off in CWA down there in Memphis, Tennessee. One of the greatest feuds of all time. I love this feud. 1987, feud of the year. You know, I don't know if there's much debate over that. People can say this feud or that feud, but to me, that's got to be up there considered. What do you remember about that feud in 1987 with Jerry the King Lawler?
Well, it just worked. You know, I mean, Lawler, Jerry's so good, so talented, and so popular, although you have to have somebody else to wrestle. Otherwise, it doesn't make any difference how popular you are. You're not going to put, you know, fannies in the seats unless you have a formidable opponent. And we had a chemistry. I mean, we definitely had a chemistry. And it really worked. So, it started off really. I was out of the territory. I was out. And I came up for a TV. And I must say, it was my idea. I'll take full credit for it because it's true. It was my idea. Came up to make a presentation to Lawler about being the most popular wrestler in Mexico. And I had a mask on. And had a sombrero I was going to present to him, and I had a plaque. There you go. Made out to Lawler, and, you know, most popular, you know, the award, this mask on, big black, like, trench coat on, so you really couldn't tell who was underneath that mask. I was really camouflaged really well. Lance Russell called. That's live TV, too. You know, Memphis is live TV. I love that. I mean, about live TV, big deal. And a huge audience. So Lance calls Lawler out and tells him what's going on. I'm going to make a presentation to him. And as he kind of bends over to look at the plaque, and I bash him in the head with it, and down he goes, and I jump on him there at that live little studio audience, which was, they were in shock. I mean, they didn't really respond very much. They were so surprised and in shock. But then when I took my mask off, it's Austin Idol. That was the beginning of the long, long build-up hair match. So it was a long, 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 long build-up. You don't see it anymore in wrestling, unfortunately.
That feud.
We'll have to make an investment time, you know? Yep. Just time. Just take your time. As long as you have the right personnel, you're going to be all right. But you just have to keep investing in it. And it's like a volcano until the volcano erupts. So it did.
And the feud is so great. And the hair versus hair cage match, which is nuts. Tommy Rich gets involved. Obviously, Paul Heyman gets involved. Part of that feud, and you actually win, which was the shocking part because everyone expected Jerry to win that. So what a swerve. You actually win that and shave his head. I mean, that crowd hates you guys. They're going to kill you.
Oh, man, they almost did. I mean, it wasn't a full-scale riot, but it was right on the verge of it. It could have easily turned into a full-scale riot. Very easily. I mean, it was just so close, so close, and I knew it. I felt it. I felt it because I'd been in some really hot experiences before environments, especially up in New York. When I was up in New York in 73, there's a few instances that became pretty serious. But this one was because of so many people. There were so many people there. The place was packed. It could have easily gotten out of control. And they could have easily killed us. What are you going to do, fight 10, 12,000 people? I don't think so.
They were shocked because, you know, usually that's like the blow off, the hair versus hair, the cage. Usually, you know, the villain, the bad guy will get his comeuppance, and they were shocked. Tommy Rich was underneath the ring. I mean, you guys did that so beautifully. They just went nuts. They were not happy with you guys whatsoever. What a feud.
Yep, it sure was. It's one for the history books.
And if you look at it, it's one of Lawler's best feuds, if not his best feud, which is crazy to say because he feuded with Andy Kaufman and Dutch and Macho Man and Kamal. I mean, there's a million guys that came through the territory, and he feuded with them, and you could put your feud with him right up there as the top. Pretty amazing.
Yeah, you know, really, it is the top. I mean, it is. And but you really hit on something. There's so many guys went through that territory, and a lot of them didn't draw any money. They really didn't draw money. They didn't, and they were, you know, they were big names somewhere else. But because of Memphis was so weird, I mean, it was very difficult, very, very difficult to be box office in Memphis because of they did so many just weird and crazy things that didn't make any sense. And just like, I mean, honestly, some very cartoonish things. And I used to tell Lola Bessa, I remember going to Memphis one night. There was 33 people on the card. Now, that's a lot. I mean, it's really a lot. And I mean, I look at the program and I saw 33 people. I'm on top of Lawler. I'm thinking, well, everybody's going to get paid. And I mean, I went to Lawler because that's where my money was. I said, King, you got 33 people on the card tonight. And he's just a real nice guy and generous. He said, well, these guys, they got to make something too. I said, I agree with you, but just don't give them any of mine. I said, you can give them some of yours. That's fine. You got plenty of it, but don't give them any of mine. And he said, don't worry about it, Idol. Don't worry. You're all good. But they did some of the weirdest stuff. I mean, you'd think that, I mean, some big names went through there that didn't draw beans.
Yeah, some huge names came by and came through.
They didn't draw beans. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing at all. But I did.
Oh, yeah. Big draw as far as Memphis. That's for sure.
Kind of didn't draw flies.
Crazy, though. If you really look at it, like Jesse the Body was there, Macho Man, Hogan, the Road Warrior, Sting, the Ultimate Warrior. Like, everybody went through there. Such a crazy territory.
Hogan went through there. Ken Patera went through there. Now, some of those, I mean, Randy Savage did. He drew some money with me, by the way, with me. Patera, I don't think Ken had much of a run there, really. I mean, just a lot of guys, you know, but they were great talents, and they went on to make their way up in New York and did phenomenal. So that's really the main thing, so.
When you guys were doing that feud with you and Lawler, did you purposely, like, think you thought, let's change it up, but don't do, like, the same thing we do with everybody else because you are making so much money? Like, let's keep a way to keep this thing going?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was in and out of Memphis for about 10 years, John. I mean, there's nobody, like, an outsider, because I was an outsider, that had that kind of run. I mean, I was the only one. I was the only one. So being an outsider, you know, and I had a great relationship there, so I had a voice. I mean, I had a pretty strong voice there creatively. And I would always think, really, about a month in advance. I would lay things out for about a month in advance. I mean, it wasn't always all mine, for sure. But usually my ideas were good for about a month, and then I just kept that going. But I never stayed for any great lengths of time, so I wouldn't get burnt out and worn out and become like really kind of like everybody else. So I may go in for like 6-8 weeks, you know, 10, gone.
I like that.
Yeah, that's the way I avoided that, you know, and because everybody else, I mean, well, they just stayed there. They didn't really go anywhere. And they became, you know, old hat. Oh, here's so-and-so again. Same old thing, same guy. Well, you know, how are you going to really draw any money?
I remember talking to Jerry Jarrett about you. This is a couple of years ago. I remember I asked him. He said he always had like a special deal with you that you didn't necessarily fit the mold of like the territory guy. Like you'd come in and you draw money, then you'd leave for a little bit, then people, when you come back, are dying to see you again or dying to boo you again. So he said it was always an interesting deal with you that you did pop in and out, but that you always kind of, not did your own thing, but you almost superseded some of the guys in the territory.
Well, for the most, absolutely. Yeah, I didn't want to be like them. You know, I didn't want to fit in with that. You know, I wanted to stand out, but which everybody should anyway. The thing is, I mean, I didn't wrestle on TV that often, and that was the whole idea behind that was, if you're over, if you're popular, make them pay to see you. Don't give it away for free. Why wrestle on TV? It's free. Everybody else was doing it. But I mean, they were. Everybody else was doing it. But that was one of the things that, in the very, very, very beginning, when Jerry Jarrett called me and about coming up, and I said, yeah, that's fine. I said, but I don't want to wrestle on TV. And he didn't understand it. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, I don't want to wrestle on TV. I said, just bring me up. Let me cut a promo. And so he said, okay. Yeah, so he did. And so that's what happened. That's how it started. I went up and I went out and cut a hot promo on live television, didn't wrestle, and stayed away from wrestling on television because I was going in and out, flying in and out. People used to, and you know, you've seen this probably a million times like I have. Idol was afraid of flying. I was flying in and out all the time.
Yeah, that is true. That because of the plane crash, everyone always says that you were afraid to fly.
Stupid. Stupid marks. I mean, come on. It's just stupid marks. Dumb marks. Yeah, dumb marks. Yeah. just stupid. Yeah. He's afraid of flying. Well, why does he fly to Memphis on Monday, fly to Louisville on Tuesday? He rides over with Jimmy Valiant and driving the car from Louisville to Evansville, Indiana, driving the car is Jimmy Cornette's mom, and little Jimmy is sitting up front in the shotgun in the front. Valiant and I are in the back, and Corny just taking it all in, just taking it all in. Now he's getting a good education. He was, you know, he really, really was. So, yeah, and then I'd fly back to Tampa from Evansville on, it would have been Thursday morning, and then a few trips back and forth to Japan, and he was afraid of flying.
Yeah, that's true. 13-hour flight. You must not have been too afraid.
No, never. I never was afraid to get back on a plane.
Yeah, I guess that's weird because I guess a lot of the times you were working in like close proximities, I guess, like Memphis or Mid-South or something, where I guess they thought that you weren't flying. I don't know where that actually came from. I guess just made up because of the plane crash, just completely made up.
I'm going to go with dumb and stupid for the game and the match. Yeah, I don't know. People, I think it's just kind of a thing. You know, people will talk about something they don't know anything about.
I guess in their head, like they would think like, oh, he had a plane crash, so he's going to be afraid to fly. But that's not actually true.
No, it's total lie. It's just made up, make-believe, fake news.
Oh, yes.
Hey, John, by the way, I'm going to be in Fort Lauderdale January the 13th with an NWA. That's going to be a live event. That's going to be really, really, really cool. That's January 13th. Then January 14th, still with the NWA in Tampa, Florida. So
nice.
That's cool. Yeah, real nice. Florida is a nice place to be, period, and especially in January.
Oh, the best. So you. As far as me up here in the Northeast, it's getting real cold, so it's good to spend some time in Florida.
Yeah, so NWA, January 13th, Fort Lauderdale, January 14th, in Tampa, Florida.
Do you know what you're going to be doing on the card?
I have no idea.
But you'll be there. That's the most important part.
I'll be there, yeah. I think I'm managing Zion in matter of fact, wait a second. We're in it's six-man tag match in Fort Lauderdale, if I'm not mistaken. And Zion will be one of the guys, and I'll be managing that trio, the three, against Joe the Bloody Nose Costanza. Not Kazana, I call him Costanza. I guess you saw the thing with the bloody nose?
Yes. Hey, he's like George Costanza.
He's Costanza, yeah, not Kazana, George Costanza, yeah, the village idiot, and and his two boys. I mean, I got to say, his guys, they're good. The country gentlemen, they're very talented guys. They're very, very talented guys. And they've got their heart and soul in this business. And they're definitely a great addition to the roster, the NWA roster. They're really rough and rugged and big and extremely athletic. I mean, very, very athletic. They can go. I mean, they can really go. So Costanza will be out there managing the boys, and then I'll be managing my guys. So that could be a little volatile.
NWA Paranoia, cool name for this show.
Great
name. Some of these names, yes. You guys always have different names, like not Sam Hain, Sawin, the Halloween show. That was kind of a cool name.
Well, that's William Patrick Corgan. Yeah, incredible. Yeah, incredible.
NWA obviously got a lot of stuff going on right now. Maybe some TV deals. I know they're on the CW app right now. People can watch. So NWA is out there, and they're doing pretty good right now.
They are. They're going to do better too. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. They're going to do much, much better. It'll be this year. Much better. I guarantee it.
Do you see wrestling hitting a quote-unquote boom period again? Because it seems like it's getting a lot of coverage, like everywhere. Now WWE is running stadium shows like crazy. Do you see like a boom period coming? Do you see it getting more popular?
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, it's as popular as it's ever been. I mean, it's great because the competition is great. AEW, WWE, they're fighting it out. Impact, now they've come around. They're going back to TNA, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If they're doing the TNA thing, that's cool. So they're ramping up. That's great. NWA is ramping up. So there's a lot of really great stuff going on right now in this industry, and it makes it exciting for everybody. The competition is great. It's great for the wrestlers. It gives them opportunities. I mean, if you don't want so-and-so, hey, you don't want me, you know, maybe somebody else does. And it's a money thing, right? Everybody's in it for money. I mean, that's the bottom line. Everybody's in it for money. I love my position with the NWA. I really do. I'm not overworked. But I'm enough. And I think there's going to be more, too. And that's fine. I mean, that's fine. I mean, I love this business. I really love it. And the locker room is amazing. I mean, it really is an amazing locker room because of the and I've been in this business a long time, John, you know that. And typically in like in the territory days, you always had the stooges. You knew who they were. Even if you thought something and they were close by, they would know what you were thinking. They're going to take it back to the office and stab you in the back, cut your throat. I mean, it's just cutthroat business. But and then that's the way it always was in every territory. The office always had their stooges. They want to know who's talking, you know, just talking smack. And with the NWA locker room, there isn't any of that. And none of that. There's no drama. It's just amazing. There's no drama.
I'd like to hear that because it seems it seems like some other places won't mention names and stuff, but they say like the guys never kind of the wrestlers, meaning they never go to the agents and can kind of get advice too. And I always find that to be kind of a little perturbing because wouldn't the agents be there and guys like you and Dr. Tom from the NWA perspective, like that type of guy, wouldn't you want to get, you know, knowledge and stuff from them? So I always hear that from other promotions, not NWA, but from other promotions, that they're not really asking the agents and the, you know, the veterans for help. I find that strange.
Maybe too many cooks in the kitchen, huh?
Ooh, big time, yes.
Yeah, maybe too many cooks in the kitchen and talent having the, I don't know, the cojones, I guess, to go up to an agent and, you know, give them a rasher, you know, trash them, you know, just, I mean, if you go back, I'm going to go back to the territory days, you wouldn't go up to Bill Watts and give Bill any grief.
No.
He's going to punch you right in the nose. Eddie Greenwood did the same thing. Punch you right in the nose. Oh, Bung Ganya. Take you down, stretch you. Stu Hart. I mean, no, you wouldn't. You wouldn't because you couldn't get away with that. But some of these other places, you can get away with a lot of high drama in the back, which is not conducive for good business. It's just not conducive. It's not. You don't want that in your locker room. NWA does not have that in their locker room. It's a very cool place to be. I mean, I've seen people come and go. Why they're gone, I don't know. I don't ask. I don't get involved.
When you look at wrestling, too, right now, you have OVW had that documentary on Netflix, which was really popular, called Wrestlers. And then even in the movie theaters, you got The Iron Claw, which is about the Von Erichs. So, I mean, wrestling is pretty mainstream right now. It's pretty crazy.
Oh, it's very mainstream. I mean, ESPN, you're always hearing somebody reference something about wrestling now. Wrestling is so in vogue. It's so in vogue. And then it's a funny thing because, you know, years ago it was like taboo. Oh, don't say anything about wrestling. And now everybody wants to talk wrestling. They all want to talk wrestling. It's pretty cool. It's a cool time to be in the wrestling business. And really, I'm going back to my wrestling college, John. I mean, that's something I think a lot of people don't understand. I mean, let's say, you don't have to be an athlete to be in the wrestling business. I mean, because there's so many positions available. You can be a referee. You could be a commentator, someone who does interviews. I mean, there's all kinds of different ways that you could participate in the wrestling business, but I think a lot of people just don't understand that the opportunity is just massive for this business. I mean, I think about even myself back when I started in the wrestling business. I mean, heck, I was a construction worker. I was a power lifter and all that stuff, you know what I mean? And I was athletic in school. I was athletic. But times have changed so much dramatically. Now, I mean, you can go from obscurity to notoriety in a relatively short length of time with unlimited income. So I think, like, okay, so you got a guy who maybe played football, maybe college football. I'm close to some colleges here, like Clemson, University of South Carolina, locally here, Furman University. So we have colleges with great programs all within, the furthest one would be 90 miles away in Columbia, South Carolina, where University of South Carolina is, but Clemson's not far away. Furman is right here in the backyard of Greenville. But how many athletes that maybe went there and did okay, they're out there working construction. They're as a server or a bartender or, you know, who knows what, doing something that they don't like doing, that doesn't have any income potential, but they're doing it because, well, what else am I going to do? I mean, I'm kind of role-playing now. Okay, so I played ball at Clemson, you know, but, you know, whatever, nothing really came from it. So now I'm out in the construction site, probably not having a great time, and saying to myself, is this it? I mean, it's not it. That's the thing. It's not it. But they just have to become aware. I guess they have to they have to want out of what they're doing if they hate it. And most people hate doing what they do. I mean, really, probably 85% of the people in the workforce, they hate doing what they do. But if you don't go looking, you're going to be stuck. You know, and here you don't even have to look. I mean, if you're athletic at all, or you want to be an interviewer, a commentator, whatever. Universal Wrestling College, Greenville, South Carolina. Google it. It's not free. But you know what? A college education is probably $50,000-$60,000. For me, you can get in for $3,500. And who knows? You might be making six figures 6 months from now.
And that's the crazy thing about wrestling nowadays. You guys didn't have this advantage, but the social media, the internet, I mean, it does fast-track a lot of guys. Maybe some guys shouldn't be fast-tracked. You can kind of tell they don't deserve it to be on TV, but it does fast-track guys, and they can kind of create their own little niche. It's crazy.
I mean, you're virtually self-employed. I mean, you really are. You're self-employed. I mean, so it's like... they ought to be lined up for miles to get in, whether it's my place or somebody else's, you know, but to get going, I mean, to have this opportunity right in front of them and, you know, nothing lasts forever because at some point that, let's say, 21-year-old, now that 21-year-old's 38, well, I wish I'd have done that. Well, too late now. So you live in regret.
For sure. As we hit the wind down here, we head towards the finish. Got to ask you this because you've had world title matches, NWA world title matches against Harley Race, Ric Flair, had one of the greatest feuds of all time with Jerry the King Lawler. Hulk Hogan has taken stuff from you, Cup in the Ears, Hulkamania. What is, if somebody said, like, what's the legacy of Austin Idol or what's the stamp of Austin Idol or somebody's looking back through history and they're like, oh, Austin Idol, what would be the description? Like, what would they say about Austin Idol?
You know, I mean, the thing of it is, I'm really kind of a rogue. I'm the guy that never really fit in, you know, because I didn't want to. So I'm just kind of a rebel, you know, a rebel. Yeah, and kind of did things not totally on my own terms, but for the most part, but still being a good business because I would want, you know, the promotion to make money because if they're not making any money, I'm not going to make it and I'm not going to be there very long. So I was a rogue. I mean, I was a rogue. And a lot of people, it would say, well, that means he was hard to get along with. Well, not really. Not really. I mean, as long as it was treated fairly, and that it always boils down to the money. You know, you don't want to draw a big house. And I can, you're talking about Iron Claw. I'm in Dallas, Texas, 1978. Austin Idol was really just hatched. He was just a kind of a baby guy, Austin Idol. But I was getting it together and getting it together quickly. I'm out in Texas. I did not like that working environment whatsoever. And I knew I'm getting out of here. I didn't like it at all. I said, I'm not going to do it. I'm getting out of here. And we were in Dallas that night, the Sportatorium. It was a double main event. Billy Graham and Kent Patera were in a weightlifting contest. And I was wrestling Red Bastien, who was the talent coordinator / booker. It's a double main event. That's how it was in the program. That's how it was hyped on television. In Dallas, they would pay you cash at night. And the house is packed. I mean, it really is a packed house. And Billy Graham and Patera had a really good thing going. I mean, they really, really, really did. And I'm wrestling the booker, Idol versus Red Bastien. And so I'm looking at the house. It's a big house. And I know what I should be making, realizing that the payoff's going to be split, you know, four ways. So double main. So I got my payoff, and I think back then, 78, in 1978, it was like $400. And I knew I was getting ripped. So I went to Red Bastien, and I said, hey, Red, there's been a mistake here. He said, what do you mean? I said, I got $400 on a house like this? He said, well, yeah, that's it. I said, Red, this is a double main event. He said, no, not really. Not really. That's just how we put it in the programs and made it on TV, but not really. It was a single main event with Billy and Patera. I said, no, it was a double main event, and you owe me money, and you know you do. He said, look, I can't pay you any more money. You'll have to take it up with Fritz Von Erich. This was before cell phones. We didn't have cell phones. There was a phone booth right outside of the Sportatorium. And I had Fritz's number. And I knew he wasn't going to give me any extra money, but I already had my mind made up. I'm out of here. Unless he does, which I knew that with his massive ego he had, he's not going to do it. So after I got my shower, got my clothes on, I go over to the phone booth. I call Fritz from the phone booth. And it's probably 10:30 at night, and he's not happy. As soon as he answers the phone, hello, real rough and gruff. Hello. So I'm real nice. I said, Fritz, Austin Idol, sorry to be calling you this time of night and disturb you, but Fritz, there's been a mistake on my payoff for tonight. What is it? I said, well, I only got $400, double main event, the house is packed. That's all you're getting. I said, well, Fritz, you know it should be more, at least double. It's not going to happen. Right? So I know. So, John, I really wanted to go out with a bang. So I said, well, Fritz, I'll tell you what. I'm going to have to give you an ultimatum. Either you're going to pay me the difference or I'm going to walk out of here effective immediately. What do you want to do, Fritz? Well, you can't have any more money. And if you walk out of here, you'll never work anywhere ever again. And I hung up on him.
Wow.
Yeah, I gave Fritz von Erich ultimatum. Yeah, I loved it too. Because I knew he wouldn't sleep that night. He had, with an ego like that, that would bother him probably for quite a while. Can you believe what he did? He gave me an ultimatum. Who does he think he is? He's never going to work again. Well, I was booked in Portland, Oregon the next day.
Wow. Unbelievable. Yeah. I love, though, that most guys probably wouldn't say anything. You know what I mean?
No, they're not going to say nothing. No, they're not going to say anything. That's why I was a rogue. You know, I stood up for myself. But, hey, listen, all the time I was in Memphis, and Jarrett and I kind of had a little bit of a volatile relationship, but I really didn't have to deal with him much because my business was Jerry Lawler. So, I was really good there, but Jerry didn't particularly like my rogue attitude, but it sure made him a lot of money.
Yeah, absolutely. So he's not going to say too much.
What are you going to say? I mean, hey, the guy's drawing money like crazy. I got a big house here on 50 acres in Hendersonville, Tennessee, with all the country western singers. I mean, just leave him alone. Lawler,
yep.
You deal with him. Lawler, you deal with him. I don't want to even talk to the guy. Yeah. I'll give you one last story. You want to hear one last story real quickly?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. Ole Anderson was the booker at the time. Maybe it could have been Harley. I can't remember. But anyway, Bill Watts replaces him. Bill Watts comes in, and Bill Watts had a reputation. Big, bad Bill Watts, which he was, and had a reputation of really calling you down, calling you out onto the carpet in front of all the boys. He had no problem doing it, and we could embarrass you and insult you, but he was very, very smart, very detailed, a perfectionist, knew what he wanted. But his reputation was really hard to work for this guy. So he takes over the book, and he has a meeting, gets everybody together, has a meeting, and lays down the law and starts initializing late fines. If you're late for the town, it's $50. Second time, it's $100. Third time, you're fired. I mean, right from the first meeting, right from the get-go, yeah. So I could see, oh boy, where this is going. And then at the end of the meeting, if anybody wants to talk to me privately, take a number, get in line. There was a secretary, whatever her name was. Nobody did except me. I went up to her and said, hey, I'm about to talk to Bill. I was the only one. Everybody else got up and walked away. I said, shoot, man, I'm going to talk to him. So I went in there and I said to him, I said, Bill, glad you're here. I don't know if you have any plans for me, but if you do, I want to make as much money for you and myself as I possibly can. If you have any plans for me, he says, you bet I've got plans for you. I'm thinking, this must be a rib, right? And he says, no. He said, I'm going to get behind you 100%. So I like what you do, man. I'm going to get behind you 100%. And I said, great. I'm excited about it. Love it. I said, one thing though, Bill, if you have any constructive criticism, great, but do it privately. Just don't, not in front of the guys or whatever, because I don't want to be screamed at and hollered at and all that stuff, because you do have a reputation. I don't really know, Bill, but you do have a reputation. He says, don't worry about it. So if there's anything I want to talk to you about, I'll get you off to the side. And he pushed me like a son of a gun. When I thought that I'm probably going to be leaving, because of the transition, I'm not one of his guys, I figured I'm probably going to be leaving, but it was just the opposite. And I had a heck of a run there. Sure did. It was great.
I love
That's
it.
Why the wrestling business is hot, people.
And anyway. And you are a rebel. I love that. But I want to mention, of course, to everybody, check out the Universal Wrestling College. Go to the UniversalWrestlingCollege.com. Search it up on Google if you like. Search it up on Facebook. But definitely check out Austin Idol's Universal Wrestling College. AI, thank you so much for all the time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, John. I really appreciate it, too. Okay, God bless you and Happy New Year.
Yes, God bless and Happy New Year. Thank you for all the time today. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron. And also check out the website, TMPTEmpire.com. And buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies. Brother. Please welcome in our new sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Go to UnderdogFantasy.com and you'll discover that Underdog Fantasy is the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. Underdog Fantasy lets you draft a fantasy dream team in minutes. Sign up now with the code POWERTRIP and you'll double your first deposit up to $100 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit of $10 or more. That's right, deposit $100 and get $100 for free. Underdog keeps it simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile apps. Pick between 2 and 5 players to fill out your pick'em slip, get every pick right, and take home some cold hard cash. Use that promo code POWERTRIP and get your first deposit doubled up by $100 by Underdog. That's UnderdogFantasy.com. Use the promo code POWERTRIP today.
We loved the 1980s wrestling era when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF, and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lanny Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.